Chapter 4. Of bread. Apostrophe, in this noble modesty, in this beautiful simplicity, in this serene avoidance of the least attempt to improve an occasion which might be supposed to have sunk of its own weight into my heart, I seem to have happily come, in a few steps, from the churchyard with its open grave, which was the type of death, to the Christian dwelling side by side with it, which was the type of resurrection. I never shall think of the former without the latter. The two will always rest side by side in my memory. If I had lost anyone dear to me in this unfortunate ship, if I had made a voyage from Australia to look at the grave in the churchyard, I should go away, thankful to God, that that house was so close to it, and that its shadow by day, and its domestic lights by night, fell upon the earth in which its master had so tenderly laid my dear one's head. The references that naturally arose out of our conversation, to the descriptions sent down of shipwrecked persons, and to the gratitude of relations and friends, made me very anxious to see some of those letters. I was presently seated before a shipwreck of papers, all beordered with black, and from them, I made the following few extracts. A mother writes, "Reverend Sir, amongst the many who perished on your shore was numbered my beloved son. I was only just recovering from a severe illness, and this fearful affliction has caused a relapse, so that I am unable at present to go to identify the remains of the loved and lost. My darling son would have been 16 on Christmas Day next. He was a most amiable and obedient child, early taught the way of salvation. We fondly hoped that as a British seaman he might be an ornament to his profession, but it is well. Apostrophe, I feel assured my dear boy is now with the redeemed. Oh, he did not wish to go this last voyage. On the 15th of October, I received a letter from him from Melbourne, date August 12th. He wrote in high spirits, and in conclusion he says, 'Pray for a fair breeze, dear mama, and I'll not forget to whistle for it. And, God permitting, I shall see you and all my little pets again. Goodbye, dear mother, goodbye, dearest parents. Goodbye, dear brother.' Apostrophe O, it was indeed an eternal farewell. I do not apologize for thus writing you, for O, my heart is so very sorrowful." A husband writes, "My dear kind sir, will you kindly inform me whether there are any initials upon the ring and guard you have in possession, found, as the standard says, last Tuesday? Believe me, my dear sir, when I say that I cannot express my deep gratitude in words sufficiently for your kindness to me on that fearful and appalling day. Will you tell me what I can do for you, and will you write me a consoling letter to prevent my mind from going astray?" A widow writes, "Left in such a state as I am, my friends and I thought it best that my dear husband should be buried where he lies, and, much as I should have liked to have had it otherwise, I must submit. I feel, from all I have heard of you, that you will see it done decently and in order. Little does it signify to us, when the soul has departed, where this poor body lies, but we who are left behind would do all we can to show how we loved them. This is denied me, but it is God's hand that afflicts us, and I try to submit. Someday I may be able to visit the spot, and see where he lies, and erect a simple stone to his memory. Oh, it will be long, long before I forget that dreadful night. Is there such a thing in the vicinity, or any shop in Bangor, to which I could send for a small picture of Milfer Lanalgo Church, a spot now sacred to me?" Another widow writes, "I have received your letter this morning, and do thank you most kindly for the interest you have taken about my dear husband, as well for the sentiments yours contains, evincing the spirit of a Christian who can sympathize with those who, like myself, are broken down with grief. May God bless and sustain you, and all in connection with you, in this great trial. Time may roll on and bear all its sons away, but your name as a disinterested person will stand in history, and, as successive years pass, many a widow will think of your noble conduct, and the tears of gratitude flow down many a cheek, the tribute of a thankful heart, when other things are forgotten forever. A father writes, I am at a loss to find words to sufficiently express my gratitude to you for your kindness to my son Richard upon the melancholy occasion of his visit to his dear brother's body, and also for your ready attention in pronouncing our beautiful burial service over my poor unfortunate son's remains. God grant that your prayers over him may reach the mercy seat, and that his soul may be received, through Christ's intercession, into heaven. His dear mother begs me to convey to you her heartfelt thanks. Those who were received at the clergyman's house write thus, after leaving it. Dear and never to be forgotten friends, I arrived here yesterday morning without accident, and am about to proceed to my home by railway. I am overpowered when I think of you and your hospitable home. No words could speak language suited to my heart. I refrain. God reward you with the same measure you have meted with. I enumerate no names, but embrace you all. My beloved friends, this is the first day that I have been able to leave my bedroom since I returned, which will explain the reason of my not writing sooner. If I could only have had my last melancholy hope realized in recovering the body of my beloved and lamented son, I should have returned home somewhat comforted, and I think I could then have been comparatively resigned. I fear now there is but little prospect, and I mourn as one without hope. The only consolation to my distressed mind is in having been so feelingly allowed by you to leave the matter in your hands, by whom I well know that everything will be done that can be, according to arrangements made, before I left the scene of the awful catastrophe, both as to the identification of my dear son, and also his interment. I feel most anxious to hear whether anything fresh has transpired since I left you. Will you add another to the many deep obligations I am under to you by writing to me? And should the body of my dear and unfortunate son be identified, let me hear from you immediately, and I will come again. Words cannot express the gratitude I feel I owe to you all for your benevolent aid, your kindness, and your sympathy. My dearly beloved friends, I arrived in safety at my house yesterday, and a night's rest has restored and tranquilized me. I must again repeat that language has no words by which I can express my sense of obligation to you. You are enshrined in my heart of hearts. I have seen him, and can now realize my misfortune more than I have hitherto been able to do. Oh, the bitterness of the cup I drink! But I bowed submissive. God must have done right. I do not want to feel less, but to acquiesce more simply. There were some Jewish passengers on board the Royal Charter, and the gratitude of the Jewish people is feelingly expressed in the following letter bearing date from the office of the Chief Rabbi. Reverend Sir, I cannot refrain from expressing to you my heartfelt thanks on behalf of those of my flock whose relatives have unfortunately been among those who perished at the late wreck of the Royal Charter. You have, indeed, like those, not left off your kindness to the living and the dead. You have not alone acted kindly towards the living, by receiving them hospitably at your house, and energetically assisting them in their mournful duty, but also towards the dead, by exerting yourself to have our co-religionists buried in our ground, and according to our rites. May our Heavenly Father reward you for your acts of humanity and true philanthropy. The old Hebrew congregation of Liverpool thus express themselves through their secretary. Reverend Sir, the wardens of this congregation have learned with great pleasure that, in addition to those indefatigable exertions, at the scene of the late disaster to the Royal Charter, which have received universal recognition, you have very benevolently employed your valuable efforts to assist such members of our faith as have sought the bodies of lost friends, to give them burial in our consecrated grounds, with the observances and rites prescribed by the ordinances of our religion. The wardens desire me to take the earliest available opportunity to offer to you, on behalf of our community, the expression of their warm acknowledgments and grateful thanks, and their sincere wishes for your continued welfare and prosperity. A Jewish gentleman writes, Reverend and dear sir, I take the opportunity of thanking you right earnestly for the promptness you displayed in answering my note with full particulars concerning my much lamented brother, and I also herein beg to express my sincere regard for the willingness you displayed, and for the facility you afforded for getting the remains of my poor brother exhumed. It has been to us a most sorrowful and painful event, but when we meet with such friends as yourself, it in a measure, somehow or other, abates that mental anguish, and makes the suffering so much easier to be borne. Considering the circumstances connected with my poor brother's fate, it does, indeed, appear a hard one. He had been away in all 7 years. He returned 4 years ago to see his family. He was then engaged to a very amiable young lady. He had been very successful abroad, and was now returning. To fulfill his sacred vow, he brought all his property with him in gold uninsured. We heard from him, when the ship stopped at Queenstown, when he was in the highest of hope, and in a few short hours afterwards all was washed away. Mournful in the deepest degree, but too sacred for quotation here, were the numerous references to those miniatures of women worn round the necks of rough men and found there after death, those locks of hair, those scraps of letters, those many, many slight memorials of hidden tenderness. One man cast up by the sea bore about him, printed on a perforated lace card, the following singular and unavailing charm. A blessing. May the blessing of God await thee. May the sun of glory shine around thy bed. And may the gates of plenty, honor, and happiness be ever open to thee. May no sorrow distress thy days. May no grief disturb thy nights. May the pillow of peace kiss thy cheek, and the pleasures of imagination attend thy dreams. And when length of years makes thee tired of earthly joys, and the curtain of death gently closes around thy last sleep of human existence, may the angel of God attend thy bed, and take care, that the expiring lamp of life shall not receive one rude blast to hasten on its extinction. A sailor had these devices on his right arm. Our Savior on the cross, the forehead of the crucifix and the vesture stained red. On the lower part of the arm, a man and woman, on one side of the cross, the appearance of a half moon, with a face, on the other side, the sun, on the top of the cross, the letters 1, H, S, on the left arm, a man and woman dancing, with an effort to delineate the female's dress, under which, initials, apostrophe another seaman had, on the lower part of the right arm, the device of a sailor and a female, the man holding the Union Jack with a streamer, the folds of which waved over her head, and the end of it was held in her hand. On the upper part of the arm, a device of our Lord on the cross, with stars surrounding the head of the cross, and one large star on the side in Indian ink. On the left arm, a flag, a true lover's knot, a face, and initials. Apostrophe this tattooing was found still plain, below the discolored outer surface of a mutilated arm, when such surface was carefully scraped away with a knife. It is not improbable that the perpetuation of this marking custom among seamen may be referred back to their desire to be identified, if drowned and flung ashore. It was some time before I could sever myself from the many interesting papers on the table, and then I broke bread and drank wine with the kind family before I left them. As I brought the coast guard down, so I took the postman back with his leathern wallet, walking stick, bugle, and terrier dog. Many a heartbroken letter had he brought to the rectory house within 2 months, many a benignantly painstaking answer had he carried back. As I rode along, I thought of the many people, inhabitants of this mother country, who would make pilgrimages to the little churchyard in the years to come. I thought of the many people in Australia, who would have an interest in such a shipwreck, and would find their way here, when they visit the old world. I thought of the writers of all the wreck of letters I had left upon the table, and I resolved to place this little record where it stands. Convocations, conferences, diocesan epistles, and the like, will do a great deal for religion, I dare say, and heaven send they may, but I doubt if they will ever do their master's service half so well, in all the time they last, as the heavens have seen it done in this bleak spot upon the rugged coast of Wales. Had I lost the friend of my life, in the wreck of the Royal Charter, had I lost my betrothed, the more than friend of my life, had I lost my maiden daughter, had I lost my hopeful boy, had I lost my little child, I would kiss the hands that worked so busily and gently in the church, and say, none better could have touched the form, though it had lain at home. Apostrophe I could be sure of it, I could be thankful for it. I could be content to leave the grave near the house the good family pass in, and out of every day, undisturbed, in the little churchyard where so many are so strangely brought together. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.